Per Ministry of Biotic Science guidelines, airlock expulsion has been approved as an acceptable method of Raquel plague carrier disposal.
Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, we set our expectations bar based on the 2014 roadmap post. We talk Cantina Tour Q&A and patch notes. And of course, we'll make up some kind of rumor for the show notes. As usual, we have a patch-ready astromech standing by to record this and plummet through the perihelion to publish this podcast. Prepped and powered up, EPC-24? Nice, you busted my chops over that little alliteration. Well, I guess I picked a particularly plucky pod pilot, eh, partner?
Oh my god.
I thought I pulled that off pretty good for one take, too. Hi, Seema.
I'm really impressed. I don't even have a comment about that because I'm afraid I would not even be able to come close. But let's see. Things are going very well, although I sense some ops withdrawal coming up because we didn't run on Superb Owl Sunday. Because, yes, we ran afoul of some foot and some ball. So but that was planned. We knew that was going to happen. But then we have a team member who's getting some lasers pointed into his eyeballs this week. And another person who's traveling cross country, so we'll see what happens on Thursday, which is one of our normal nights. However, last Thursday we did do one of our really a quick run. In two hours we did all of Dread Fortress and all of Dread Palace. And we still had like 10 minutes to spare at the end, and we had time to goof off in between too.
Right.
The first time we did it, both of them in one night, we were pretty like focused. But this time we were our normal fidgety selves.
Right. And that included a break and everything. So we're cruising.
And I have news. I finally got the MCR 100 mini probe, which is a pet that you get for scanning a bunch of droids on a bunch of different planets. And now it's different from, there's an achievement for called droid reconnaissance for doing all this scanning. But the pet comes from doing all the ones for your faction and doing them all in one character. And you don't get any feedback about how you're doing. You can see whether you're working towards the achievement or not, but all along the way, it's kind of an act of faith. It's like, I'm pretty sure I got that one. Did I get that one? And when I scanned the one that I was pretty sure was the last one for the pet, I was like, oh, I didn't get the mail. And like, maybe 10 minutes later, I was already thinking, well, maybe I didn't get all the ones on McKeb because maybe I did some of those on my pub character, blah, 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 blah. And then about 10 minutes later, finally the email did pop up. And it's like a little droid that looks like the ones that you scan on the various planets. So
interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds like it calls for a spreadsheet. I'll get right on that.
Well, I was following along with the guide that Dolphy has. So I was just going down the...
Got it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I can't believe that's the only thing I've been doing. Oh, yeah. I've decided to go back to putting some effort into making money. I'm not out of money, but I decided that I want more money. So I've been working on that somewhat.
All the money. No, I through phases like that.
I want all the money. Yeah. So, yeah, you and I were talking this. I've been thinking about getting the GTN on my ship. However, right, I don't want to spend my 5 million credits for it, so I might do it with cartel coins. Since a while back I bought those dies, which are still just sitting in my inventory, didn't sell them. But
sure,
it broke the wall I had against spending cartel coins. So now I'm thinking, oh, I'll just spend more, get the GTN.
I don't know.
We'll see.
5 million credits, it's a pittance. You should spend the credits. That's what I did. I just dumped the credits.
I'm sorry. I can't spend 5 million credits when I'm actually looking at how many credits I have and trying to make the number bigger. Later on, when I'm in a different phase where I'm in my spending phase, maybe then.
I certainly don't have the most credits of anyone by far, but I find it so easy to make credits that I'll go through phases and I'll just get bored of making millions and just stop for a while. You know, just take a few weeks off and not bother making any more credits and buy junk off the buy cartel items. Like I got the little Starfighter simulator mount and the green Coriolis mount and those kinds of things.
Well, I find I do different things. Like for a while, every alt I was sending them like a couple of million credits so that they could buy like every type of thing on the legacy, you know, all the XP boosts and all that stuff.
Yep.
The last few alts I've done got nothing and they're running around with like no XP boost. They got like 5K credits in their pockets and it's sort of like, oh, I can't train. I'm like, well, suck it up. Go kill something.
Gotta make your own way in this world.
Yes.
Freeloader.
Exactly.
Hippie, get a job.
Can I have some armor? Yes, as soon as you buy it yourself. How about you, Max? What's up with you this week?
So yeah, I had fun with our Dread Fortress, Dread Palace. We didn't even start right on time necessarily. We do usually start. We're very punctual, but
yes,
you know, so maybe a cup, 5 minutes waste in the beginning, 10 minutes early at the end, 5 minute break in between. We're cruising through those. And it was relaxing too. We weren't hammering it. Nobody was racing. Just happened to be faster and faster. We are ready for hard modes and we know that. We're getting into the hard mode, knocking down more and more bosses. Yeah. So it makes sense.
It was Superb Owl got in our way.
Yes. I have, of course, been doing Galactic Starfighter. I've been doing the daily on the pub side. I haven't even been doing it every day this past week because of all the crazy stuff that's been going on. But since I've been messing around with a couple lower level alts, my Sork, who's in his 40s, and my Power Tech, who's in his 20s, I am doing them on both of those lower level characters as I level just to get the daily in. Both of those characters both have ships that they just have the three ships, the gunship, the scout, and the strike fighter, and no unlocks pretty much. And I'm still winning just as much as any other time in the matches and doing plenty of damage. So it's really not a bad experience for lower level new people, I wouldn't think. As long as you get over that learning curve of how to control the ships. So that's good. We are still doing our Tuesday night stuff too. So although we may not be able to run Thursday, hopefully we'll run tomorrow.
Yeah.
We started back up the thing that we do with our guild, which is on Tuesdays, we do a 16-man, hopefully. Maybe sometimes we drop to 8 if there aren't enough people. Maybe we do, if they're more than 16, some people go off and do a flashpoint or something, but it's open to anyone level 50 and above, regardless of your skill or gear, and we just figure out something fun to go do. We ended up with only, because it was the first night we were coming back after the first of the year, we ended up only with 6 people and decided to go do hard mode EV just for a quick comm run with just 6 people, and it was pretty fun. We're
that
all
was
overgeared.
Fun, yeah.
We're all 55 and geared, and we just plowed through it. But even with 6 people, you have to do you still have to do the pillars with 2 groups, and you still have to do the council fight with only 6 people, and you have to kill 8 of the council members, and it was still pretty cool.
Max had to kill all the extra ones.
Yeah, everybody just sort of went and sat by the chest.
I killed all of them. That's right. I forgot. How could I forget that?
One gun was going one direction, one gun was going the other direction. Bang,
yes.
Bang, bang, bang. Knocking them down like a flock of turkeys.
Flock of turkeys.
And then the only other thing I was going to mention is I have been running Star Wars on my new Surface 2 Pro, which I bought for work. But it's the Surface 2 Pro 256 gig with 8 gig of RAM. And Star Wars runs great on it. It's got this weird thing where if I switch video modes, it takes really long for the video mode to switch. In fact, it's so long that I can't right now get it into full screen 1920 by 1080 because it takes so long to switch that the timer runs out on the "Are you sure you want to switch?" button before it switches. And then it keeps switching back. But once it switches, then it runs super smooth and I've got it mostly on medium settings, but I can crank it up to high. But even so, on medium high settings, I was running around the fleet at over 30 frames a second. So,
well, let me ask you a dumb question. Cool. So on this Surface 2 Pro, is it flat like an iPad and then you have a keyboard that you attach to it, or is it open up like a laptop, or How does it?
So it's, yeah, it's like an iPad, but it's got a magnetic keyboard that snaps on if you want, or you can have an external keyboard. I've got it plugged into a 23-inch monitor also, dual screen. So I have the Surface Low and the big monitor up high and a separate keyboard and mouse. And I can run, I could do ops on it because I've got the, you know, regular mouse keyboard and the big monitor. But I can also, in a meeting, not that I would do this, but in a corporate IT consulting meeting, I could run Star Wars on my little Surface sitting in my lap and run crew missions.
Well, of course. I mean, isn't that what they expect when, yeah, like you said, they partially reimburse you for the cost. Doesn't that mean you have to partially play games on it at work? Spend part of your time? At least.
It's not, I don't know. we'll just set that aside. Because of course I wouldn't do that. That would impact the productivity and my TPS reports wouldn't get done in time.
Yes. Gonna need you to come in this weekend.
But that is pretty cool. So I'm happy that I've got that on the side for doing whatever I need to do. But I think we can move on to the news.
Continuing our coverage.
I implore you to listen to what I have to say.
Now, an Imperial News Network report.
I think I need to tune up that drop in. It just ends abruptly with that Imperial News Network because I had to really cut it off. Otherwise, he starts going on and on about the Chevin conglomerate.
Yeah.
So I'll fix it up. Anyway, I thought to kick it off this week, we could talk about guild news. We have some returning members coming in. We, even as of tonight, between both of us, we've done 4 invites tonight alone.
That's right.
That was pretty cool. Of members that have posted in the introduction thread, we've got Heath, who's a returning member who came back this week. We've got a couple new members, but we're only going to call out the ones that are in the introduction thread.
Yes. Please post in the introduction thread so we can get to know you.
We also heard that Sup has a member who's taking a little break for real life awesomeness. And as a result, Sup has an opening. They have, I think they've got a couple people running standby and fill in, but they have an opening for a permanent spot if anyone is interested. They could take a tank or a DPS because they've got a couple of members that have all the roles and could
yes, fill in. Yes, you can switch back and forth. They're very flexible that way.
And then, as we also mentioned, the 16-man nights, the Tuesday night fun runs are still going. Keep an eye out in the forums if anybody wants to jump in. That's a fun thing. We're going to be switching it up. We'll do 16-man operations. We'll probably also do, looking forward, some things like maybe Nightmare Pilgrim or some other world bosses or other stuff like that. So keep an eye out. And then you've got your Friday night run, right, Seema?
Right. That's our Slowby Flashpoint group. And we are in our mid to high 20s right now. So if you have a character on the imp side that you'd like to run with us on Friday night, what we do is we get together and run 1 or 2 flashpoints. And these characters are basically only leveling through this flashpoint effort. So that's why we call it our Slowby group.
Yep,
so it's fun. I mean, I'm tanking in that group, which means pretty much nobody's tanking. But hey... And sometimes
it works.
Max
nobody
tanks.
Dies.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of like we're all kind of sophisticated players enough now that we, you know, we have good gear and we kind of get the concept. So it's almost like you could just probably go in these flashpoints at that level with any 4 people and win.
Probably.
But anyway, it is fun. We have fun.
Tanks don't even have taunts or AOE taunts or stuff like that at that level. So
right.
You're not really designed where you have to do a ton of tanking or a ton of healing anyway. So it works out fine.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that brings us to a couple other news, points of news. So 2 things that we're going to cover off relatively quickly this week are we had a cantina tour event in Phoenix this past week where there was some fun Q&A going on. And then we'll also talk about the patch notes. But first on that Q&A, we don't need to go through the whole thing. There was 2 sets of notes that I pulled, though. One was the At the beginning of the Cantina tour event, if you've ever been to one of these, they stand up in the front of the room, they give a little talk, and then they open it for questions and people ask questions, and someone always records it and takes notes. Then the thing goes on for a couple more hours. There's drinks and food, and the Eric Musco and Courtney and usually a developer or two walk around and just hang out with everybody. And you can then drill them for information on the side and try to get extra tidbits of information out of them. So of the main Q&A, the couple things that I saw were interesting were everybody's a little frustrated with their answers around just random stuff that people are asking for. When are you going to have new legacy levels over 50? Are you going to ever add a new class? Are you going to ever add joystick controls to Galactic Starfighter? And a lot of the answers tend to be maybe at some point. A lot of that stuff's really hard, so we're not planning on doing it right now. And I don't know. I know that's a relatively frustrating answer, but I can sympathize that there are some things that are hard, and not that they can't do them, but it would take away from doing something else, right?
Right. Yep. There's a finite amount of resources to do any particular list of things. And I think they do their best to decide what list of things they're going to do.
Right. Coming from a software development background myself, I get that you need to cut till it hurts, and you need to really prioritize hard to make sure that you're still delivering stuff on a regular basis. So, okay. That said, there is some cool stuff that everybody keeps asking for that I too would love to have. I was chatting on Twitter with a Twitter handle for the Shadow Legion, which is a guild on Shadowlands. And those guys were saying, what about the guild stuff? Guild email, anything to support guilds, go over the guild cap, guild capital ships. Is any of that kind of stuff coming? A lot of the answer on that is, no, we're not really thinking of doing that right now. Us obviously running a sizable guild on the server, a lot of that stuff, yes, is also stuff that we would like. I agree.
So that would and be I great. Think just in general, I would like to see all the interface stuff brought to a level where it operates the same way. Like, it's kind of ridiculous that you can't right click on somebody from the guild roster and send them a tell.
Yes, I agree. That seems like that should not be difficult, but yeah. They haven't gotten around to putting it in. Eventually guild capital ships. Yes, please. That would be awesome.
And like, if you click on a tool, you know, you get somebody links something in chat, you can click on it and get the tooltip, but it doesn't compare to what you're wearing unless you click on it in a different, you know, like in your inventory or something. So not in chat, but in the loot drops.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, just little things like that. It seems like consistency could be higher.
Could be, but as we know, consistency is the hobgoblin of mediocre minds. So
shaking
it up and...
I'm taking that personally. Me and my mediocre mind would like to have more consistency.
I like chaos. It's so awesome. Just for every time I click on the interface, just something random else happens and I have no clue what's going on at any point in time. That just seems so much more appropriate.
Remember for a while when you would go /R to respond someone and to someone and tells you, you never really knew who was going to get that tell.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Chat roulette. Awesome. I thought there were a couple cool questions in there about story arc and where's the story going. And somebody asked about Revan, and there's a little bit of wink, wink, nudge, nudge in some of those types of questions. But most of it gets summed up by one of the things they said, which was basically starting around game update 2.7 this year, there's going to be a big story arc, and it's going to go out throughout the rest of the year. And it's going to be pretty epic by the time it builds up into the end. So, hey, that sounds cool to me.
I like the sound of that.
One thing, so that was all from the main Q&A. The one sort of other QA item I noticed in one of the sets of notes that's floating out there around the web is from one of the guys that was sort of working the crowd, and some player came up and talked to him and asked about player housing. I think this is on Delphi's summary of the Cantina event. So the guy said, okay, so I asked him about player housing, and his verbal answer was, sure, that's a good idea. But judging by his general body language and his not-so-wry smile, I'd say it's almost a certainty that they are working on player housing. So I think that might be going a little bit far.
I guess you had to be there.
But this guy says, based on that sort of nonverbal communication, he would be completely stunned if they don't actually see player housing in 2014. Now, I would love player housing of some kind, like building out the ships, or maybe your ship docks at your own personal space station, and that would be, you could like put stuff in there, and that would be really cool.
I want a space station.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? That
was my shrubberies. Idea.
With shrubbery, you want sofas in your space station?
I absolutely gotta have sofas.
I know you do. I think that would be awesome. I don't know though that they're working on it. That seems like a little bit of a stretch to me, but that would be really cool. All right, so that's the Cantina event. We also have the patch notes. A lot of the stuff is stuff we already know. What were some of the highlights that you saw out of the patch notes, Seema, that you thought were interesting or that we haven't talked about already?
With this patch 2.6, just for the framework, it's where Galactic Starfighter is going out to the free-to-play players. So it'll be everybody now that can play Galactic Starfighter. There is, of course, the new Tactical Flashpoint Kuat Drive Yards. We've talked quite a bit about that. It's going to be in the group finder in two level ranges. One is one range will be 15 to 54, and then one range will be 55. Kind of makes me think they're setting it up so that maybe if they wanted to in the future, they could have a hard mode version at 55. I don't know. Just came maybe to my mind. The Serica flashpoints, even though they're going to be in the group finder as tactical flashpoints, they're still going to be only level 55.
Right. Because they're not set up for the bolster mechanic.
Right, and they don't have the, you know, the different encounters and all that stuff. But there's also introducing two new reputations. One is called Republic First Fleet, and one is called Imperial Forward Command. You know, they're faction-oriented. There's going to probably more than one thing you can buy, but the thing that was called out in the patch notes was the KDY Orbital Lifter, which is a speeder that looks like a... Well, Max said it looked like a little submarine, but you do. It is one of the ones where you get inside, and you. It looked like you're actually standing up inside, and there's like a glass front. It looked cool. I would want one. I don't know if I'm ever going to be legend rank with one of those reps, though. We'll see.
It does. It looks like a deep sea one man submarine. But yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, new cartel pack coming out on the 11th. Galactic Ace Starfighter pack. So when the patch drops, we will be able to look in collections and see what's going to be in that pack. One, it's going to be for 320 cartel coins, or the hypercrate of 24 for 6,912 coins. Yeah. I know Max is going to get that one because he always spends his coins.
I have many coins. I could buy that with my coins, but I will not, because having coins is more important to me than having hypercrates.
I could not, because I spent my coins on dye, because apparently I wanted to have dye in my inventory, which is where it still is.
Well, when I get my space station, that I'm going to wallpaper the walls with cartel coins. So I need to keep.
There you go. Some general changes. Reduced aggro range in Oricon, which I guess maybe people were asking for. I was actually kind of the fun part of Oricon to me was that you're always just almost about to get into trouble. A little chaos, like you were saying, Mac. Some fixes to things like bolster, which apparently the aggro radius was not being figured properly, so that if you were low level and getting bolstered up, but you could still aggro things from farther away, is the way I read that, so they fixed that. And now they'll also make it so that your enemies have the right color for their difficulty indicator. The group finder is now going to display the level range of players that it will group together for flashpoints and ops. I guess this will come in handy for, I'm not sure why they're doing this, because like with the tactical flashpoint, they're going to bolster you anyway. So I don't know.
Well, that's the case. So maybe it'll just show you the 15 to 54. And if they have varying level ranges for any new ones that come out, you'll be able to see that.
And at long last, you can now queue for War Zones and Starfighter battles at the same time.
Which I would do. So yeah. I'm glad they're putting that in. Because on the low-level characters, I do the PvP daily and I do the Galactic Starfighter daily. I would love to just queue for them both and whichever one pops. I'm glad to say both of them pop relatively quickly. I do not have to wait very long for either of those on low-level characters on Jedi Covenant. So that's awesome.
There's a long list of tiny stuff being done to classes.
We've talked about most of that.
We've talked about most of it already. Nothing brand new. There's a little bit higher level of detail in the patch notes than maybe we've seen previously, but yeah, go check it out. And I think for patch note highlights, that's about it.
They did have a bunch of Galactic Starfighter items in the patch notes.
And, which I glossed over for obvious reasons.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna use up our Galactic Starfighter tips section to talk about those this week.
Okay.
Do a barrel roll.
So yeah, out of those patch notes, we know that the bomber's coming. So great, getting your bombers. Hopefully, you've been saving your ship requisitioning, your fleet requisition, to be able to pick up a bomber and outfit it a little bit with your tokens that you've been saving from your dailies and your weeklies. They're adding deathmatch. We knew that they're adding that. It's slightly different maps. It's slightly different gameplay. It's deathmatch gameplay, obviously. And you're going to be able to have little power-ups around the map too, which is interesting. They're adding the battle record, which gives you a lot more statistics after you're out of a Galactic Starfighter map to see both what your performance has been and what your earnings are. And your battle record I think it's really useful because we've been using achievements to sort of track our record over time. But once you hit like 1,000 Galactic Starfighter matches, it stops counting because you hit the top end achievement.
Oh, right.
So you'll be able to sort of keep counting, which is nice. The launch deck is live, which is that level on the fleet where you can get to quad drive yards, and you can also see sort of the hangars that represent where the Galactic Starfighter fleet gets launched from. That's now live on the fleet as of you hearing this. You can go down the mission departures elevator, and that reminds me, last week after we started talking about this, and I was getting all excited and talking about how cool I thought it was that the fleet can expand vertically by having the elevators just add more levels on to the fleet. The Bad Feelings podcast Twitter guy tweeted and said, I missed the opportunity to compare it with Tiny Death Star and adding levels on. So yes, now we've got the main level, we've got the hangar deck, we've got the launch deck, and then I want Scoop of Hoth, the ice cream shop deck right below that. I think that'll be perfect.
I totally want a Scoop of Hoth deck somewhere.
Yeah, I need an ice cream shop. I'll put it on my own space station when we have player housing.
There you go. Yeah. And then I'll sit on my sofa and eat ice cream from your ice cream shop.
Exactly. And then a couple other things. There's a couple keybinds for quick looks that we didn't have before. Auto roll, when you press V, you'll rotate back to sort of up and down, even though there's no up and down in space. And a couple other cool things out there. They've tweaked some of the ships. They've nerfed gunships a tiny bit. So I guess the main tip for the week is go check out those notes for the patch. You're going to potentially want to change up what you use and how you work a little bit. They even added an EMP missile and an EMP ability to the Nova Black Bolt and the missile to the Pike and Quell. You might... Those are sort of anti-mine and drone abilities. You're going to need to take a look at those. Look at the nerfs to the gunship and react. Look at the nerfs to evasion and react to that. The nerfs to shield piercing and react to that. It's not big, but take a quick look. That's, I think, the good tip for this week.
In other words, educate yourself. Always a good tip.
Yes. Yes. Read... Read. I was elected to lead, not to read. No, you must read to be effective. Which brings us to basically our segment for this week, which we're going to be a little bit lazy and just do our reactions to the roadmap. I think it warrants a whole segment unto itself. So
I do too.
And since I don't have an appropriate bumper for this particular type of segment, I will just play this.
Fresh Wagyu meat. I mean, I hope not. I hope you don't, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you, Treak. So, this past week, just very recently, just actually as of Monday, we did get a post which was called the 2014 Roadmap. So we'll go through what we heard so far. And I'm wondering if it's fiscal year 2014 that they end their fiscal year in June or something, and then it's going to get to fiscal year 2015 or something, because
that's kind of roadmap arcane.
Just, it talks about the things that happen through June, and then just is a little ambiguous that's saying, and more.
Yes.
But we'll go through the couple highlights. It does look cool. I am excited. I'm glad that they're doing this. I think we'll hear more based on this roadmap, but it isn't yet complete, and there is a bunch of stuff. Yes, it's just the foundation. It's phase one. It's just the baseline. So we'll build from here, right?
Yes.
Right. So the first thing that they had is what we already just talked about, which was game update 2.6. So that's what they're calling sort of the bullet number one on their roadmap for 2014. So February 4th, bunch of cool stuff. Great. March, what do they have? They have a double XP weekend, which we'll also be getting, you know, Bounty Hunter Week is going to be back, and who knows what else will be spliced in there. I would expect that Gree need to come back someday, and Rakghouls are going to come back someday. Maybe we'll still only get Bounty Week and the double XP weekend, but that'll still be useful in March. And then we're looking towards the next bigger thing, which is game update 2.7 that they've scheduled for April 8th, which actually looks pretty cool. So what did you see out of there that looked interesting?
Well, I'm most excited about the two new flashpoints. And the way they describe them, they say they're on Tython and Korriban, where the Empire and Republic confront each other directly. And it's initiating that story arc that I referred to that's going to carry us through the rest of the year. So I'm kind of used to the storytelling being through flashpoints. So, but the way they talk about it, I'm kind of wondering, too, if it's going to be a little bit like the, what do they call it in Guild Wars 2, the living content or live content or whatever, mm-hmm. where they have a, you know, a story going on. So maybe there'd be some stuff tied in or things that happen throughout the second half of the year that support this story. But I get the feeling that these flashpoints are like the beginning of that story arc.
It sounds good. I know we were talking between you and I, and we each had a different spin on what we thought those might be. And I don't know if it's the DPS versus the healer perspective, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if this is, if the Republic players go to Korriban and the Imperial players go to Tython and it's an assault, right? And Seema said, no.
Yeah, I thought the first thing that came to my mind was we Republic players were going to be on Tython and they were going to do defending against an assault, and the Empire players would be on Korriban defending against an assault, which is
The healers, of course, would be defending.
Right.
The DPS would be attacking. Pew, pew, pew. So we'll see what it is. But it does seem to set up the opportunity for sort of that bigger war or story arc, which I think will be cool. For PvPers, there will be a new Hutball style war zone that will be a Quesh based war zone. That'll be interesting. And mixed in here somewhere, it's not clear exactly where, but they said they'll be doing things around the ranked PvP seasons. So they'll be ending a season, they'll have rewards. So that's going to come somewhere in all of this as well. They're also adding Dread Fortress Nightmare mode around this April release as well. I did get a note from Baffle on Twitter that was asking about what is the speculation on Galactic Starfighter. They did have a note for Galactic Starfighter in 2.7 that said there'll be a new Galactic Starfighter battle zone. And then in the 2.8, they talked about a new ship that's coming for Galactic Starfighter. So here's my speculation for Galactic Starfighter, the new battle zone. We've seen leaks. I think it was on the PTS, in the achievements on the PTS, There were achievements under Galactic Starfighter talking about a gameplay mode that had terminology like carried resources and moved resources and defended the carrier type of resource. So I think the next battle zone pretty clearly is going to be some sort of resource carry, resource movement, resource defend.
Hutball in space type of thing.
So yeah, that makes sense to me. I bet that's the kind of thing that's coming in 2.7. And then 2.8 for Galactic Starfighter, the new ship type. The speculation going way back to beta, and not to be too spoilery, so plug your ears for a sec if you don't want it to be spoilered, but from some of the data mine stuff I have seen, it seems like it's an infiltration stealth type ship. Now, I don't think the ship actually turns invisible from some of the hints that I'm getting, but there's an infiltration mode to this ship that allows it to get up close and personal with enemy satellites and enemy fleets in some interesting ways. So that's going to be cool. Otherwise, the next bullet point that they outlined was June 10th for game update 2.8. They're adding the Nightmare Mode Dread Palace in June. So then it's April for Dread Fortress Nightmare, and it's June for Dread Palace Nightmare. Now, I know there's a little bit of angst around, it seems like we're not getting a new operation for a while, at least until June. Now, the way they wrap up the June comments and what's coming next, we could even, as soon as June, get a new operation. But we're not getting even getting Nightmare Mode Dread Palace until June. Lord Fluffy Duck, or Madmar, or SWTOR family on Twitter, he sort of agreed with that general sentiment that's out there on the web today from a lot of the hardcore raiders, especially, that's saying, that seems like a long time to wait for Nightmare Mode Dread Palace. Why couldn't you at least give that to us in April at the same time you give it Dread Fortress? And all of them is still waiting quite a long time since we had that initial release of Dread Fortress and Dread Palace when Oricon came out. I don't know. What do you think about that, Seema?
Well, my question is, how different is hard mode and nightmare mode? Because I've never done really nightmare mode ops until we've kind of gone back to ones that we're sort of overgeared for now. And so from my perspective, there's a big gap between story and hard, and then the gap between hard mode and nightmare mode is less interesting and smaller. It's like not new, it's just harder, like more HP, more damage, but all the same mechanics. So I don't know if that's a correct assessment or not, but I guess if that's what it is, it does make me feel like it's a little bit of a valid complaint, since it doesn't seem like it would be that hard to roll out nightmare operations.
Yeah, I think their new design principle is they're trying to make the mechanics slightly different as well. But even so, then you're just getting slightly tweaked mechanics. And I could see from a hardcore raider's perspective that's quite a long time to wait while you're doing the same content over and over, when you feel that you could be ready, and they probably are. They're ready to do it already.
Yeah, I feel for them. Of course, for us, we may not even be ready for Nightmare Dread Fortress in April. I mean, we haven't completed it on hard mode. And even when we do complete it on a hard mode, it's not like we're going to have it on farm for a long time until between then and April. So, I mean, right. And I think
we're doing it a couple hours a week max, yeah. And just knocking down a boss every once in a while.
Yeah, I think our method is probably not that uncommon. So of right. Most of the people who run ops, we're probably pretty representative. So I think it might be good timing for most people, but I do feel bad for the guys who knock it out right away and then they really don't have anything to do except dailies. And you know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody until they find something fun to do. So that's my take on it.
Tio chimed in when I was chatting with Madmar on Twitter and said sort of the same thing. He said in general that wasn't that bad a schedule for them either. I think in general, everybody would love more content, more, you know, always, never not more content. But I don't think it's that terrible of a schedule.
But for us, yes, we're working on hard mode Dread Force, but we did not finish hard mode Terror from Beyond or hard mode Scum and Villainy. So really, there's four operations that are still open to us.
True.
And true. I mean, that that's more than enough content for us, because we're not going to be, we're never going to be doing more than one or two a week, really. So,
right. Sure.
Like I say, I feel for those guys, but at the same time, it's hard for any gaming company to design their content around those guys that consume so fast.
Correct.
And I know they've heard it, but it is tough.
Yeah, I'm sure it's tough. And then they wrap up that June 10th and the rest of that post by basically saying, and much more. So they get to the June 10th bullet, and then they say, you know, nightmare mode and a new ship and much more. This is going to be the biggest update to this point. We'll reveal more once we are a bit closer to June. Further down the next paragraph, they say, as I write this, we're actively developing all of the above, as well as PvP seasons, new flashpoints, new operations gear, performance improvements, changes to classes, and a couple interesting things that they wrap up with. Two digital expansions for 2014, one similar to Galactic Starfighter in scope, and one more closely resembling Rise of the Hard Cartel. So that's sort of in the paragraph below those bullets. They do throw some juicy nuggets in there, but it's hard to say that this is a roadmap for 2014 when you get to June 10th and then you say, and more.
Right. I think it's, define 2014.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a good start. I'm happy that they're putting anything out. They're probably putting the right amount of stuff out. Maybe just calling it the roadmap for 2014 was the only miss that I would see in this. It's our 6 month roadmap. That would be great.
Yeah. It's a 6 month roadmap and some idea of the following 6 months.
Right. So I guess to sum it up, Seema, where would you say your expectation bar is then on this? Do you have really high expectations for 2014? Because we know, as I keep saying, satisfaction is reality minus expectations. Expectations minus the difference, the delta between expectations.
Were appropriately low because I skimmed through the last three paragraphs and I missed that reference to closely resembling Rise of the Hutt Cartel. So mine just zoomed right back up there.
Now I just spiked it up for you.
Yeah, now I'm thinking
it's gonna
five
be
extra
awesome.
Levels, another planet, another, the story arc they're talking about. You know, that might be what drives us through the five levels.
And that dude wandering around the cantina event who said there's definitely going to be guild housing, not guild, there's definitely going to be player housing in the game.
Well, you know.
So, yes.
He smiled wryly.
Oculus Rift support, Google Glass support, mobile gaming. It's going to be amazing. You cannot believe. Okay, let's bring it back down. That's all remember. Keep your expectations low, let them overachieve, and we'll all be happy. All right. Well, I think we are good for today. Little EPC 24 here is filled up and ready to go. Thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESEMA, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask us for an invite. Our character names are in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org. Or find us on Facebook or Google+ at AIE SWTOR. And we will talk to you soon.
Good night, everyone.